Home, Tom Roberts shooting 1-1. 4:03 left in overtime. 75-73 Tunsis by 2. And Tom Roberts to shoot 1-1. Needs the first to get the second. Tom Roberts 0-2 tonight. Shot up. Good. Tom Roberts, 7 points. 75-74. Tom Roberts, the nail biter now. And his first game of the evening session. Second shot by Tom Roberts. Up and soft and good. Tom Roberts hangs on the rim and falls. 75-75 tie. Full court pressure by Dixon. In backcourt, Pruitt loses the dribble. Gets it into forecourt to Houston Powell. 3:53 left in this overtime period. Powell down the sidelines to Alex Hooper. Hooper against Entz. Drives, loses the ball. Foul called on whom? On Entz? Entz apparently gets the foul. And will they say two shots or 1-1? Ron Entz with personal foul. I have that as 4 on Entz. And Hooper will be shooting 2. Alex Hooper at the free throw line. Shot up, short, off the front of the rim. Hooper now 2-for-4 from the free throw line, but the second half has 8 baskets, 10 on the night, and 22 points. Alex Hooper, 75-75. Will he miss the second? Moberly cheering for Dixie. Shot good by Hooper. Hooper gives Tunksis a 76-75 lead. Now Dixie has a chance to lead. Benson across the 10-second line. Leaves it for Entz. Down the sidelines it goes to Dockery. Underneath to Roberts. Roberts, power move. Good, Tom Roberts. Dixie with the lead. Roberts with 10 points. 77-76. Dixie showing some signs of life. 3:28 left in the game, and Dixie has the lead. Powell against Benson. Different ball game now. Powell, long jump shot. Good. Powell. Second basket of the night. Powell just shot it up and over. Benson at the free throw line. 78-77. Tunksis. 3:13 left in the overtime period. Benson looks for help. Tunksis just not missing. It goes to Tom Roberts. To Ron Entz at the free throw line. Leaves it for Eddie Benson. Benson looks for help to Olis Dockery. To Ron Entz. Law pass underneath to McMullen. Head fakes. Puts it up. No good. McMullen. No good, but there's a foul on Haskins, and that should be 5 on Haskins. McMullen, will he be shooting 2, or will it be 1-1? And it's 1-1. That's 5 on Haskins. 2:56 in overtime left, and Haskins, who has played very well, finishes with 6 field goals. And a total of 12 points. 78-77. Tunksis with a 1-point lead, and Chris McMullen at the free throw line. Greg Toms ready to come back in. Toms, quick little guard. McMullen wants to get to the free throw line and shoot the free throws. He's 6-for-6 tonight. Not the man you want to have there if you're Tunksis. But the way Dixie's been going, you never know. 78-77. Tunksis with a lead. 1-1 situation. 2:56 left in the ball game. Chris McMullen. If Dixie could get a 3-to-4-point lead, they might hang on to it and just let Tunksis come out after them. McMullen. Foul shot. Up. No good. Rebound. Roberts. Head fakes. Puts it up. Good. McMullen misses. Roberts got the rebound. It hung on the rim enough to get Tunksis jumping too soon. Dixie with a 79-78 lead. Nail biter right now. Toms against Dockery. At the angle, it goes to Alex Hooper. Tunksis has been a long time since they missed a shot. Hooper, bank shot. No good. Rebound. McMullen. Foul on Toms. Let's see if that's 3 or 4 on Toms. To the free throw line goes McMullen. So McMullen hits 29. Misses one. That's 3 on Toms. And McMullen to the free throw line again. McMullen then hits 6 and misses one. 1-1 situation coming up for McMullen. 79-78. 2:34 left in the game. And McMullen trying to get Dixie by the skin of their teeth. How's that for a cliche from way back? McMullen. 2:34 left. Steadies himself. Takes a lot of time anyway. Shot good. The Hutchinson fans starting to rally behind Dixie. Moberly fans seem to be rallying behind Dixie because of the red, I guess. 80-78, Dixie by 2. Chris McMullen at the free throw line, trying to steady himself, has 19 points on the night, make it 19. Rebound, Roberts puts it out in front to McMullen. Dixie. Tom Roberts with some key rebounds. Eddie Vanson with the basketball. Looks for help. Down the sidelines to Ant. Ant almost loses it. Bounce pass to McMullen. McMullen clears it out in front. Bounce pass to Benson. Let Tunxes come after them. Benson whirls, and there's a foul, and I believe that's on Powell. 2:19 left in the game, and Eddie Benson will go to the free throw line. Let's double check. That is on, no, it's on Hooper. Hooper fouls out. Hooper, with an outstanding second half, fouls out with 2:19 left in overtime. And much like Dixie had against Mercer, the foul trouble finally catching up with the opponent. Alex Hooper fouls out with, believe it or not, 10 field goals, 8 in the second half, 3 out of 5 from the free throw line, and 23 points, best outing of the tournament. Ready to come back in is Charles Richardson, who has 4 personal fouls, and Tunxas wants a timeout. 2:19 left in overtime, timeout Tunxas, 80-78 Dixie, back in 60 seconds.
Keep your car running in tip-top condition by having it fully serviced at Dixie Lube Center and Car Wash. At Dixie Lube Center, they'll get your car ready for that spring and summer driving ahead, no matter what make or model, even diesel models. Dixie Lube Center will be the best friend your car will ever have. Dixie Lube Center, home of great service and the best car wash in town, too. Drop in and just wait. It only takes 10 minutes for...
At the free throw line, Eddie Benson to shoot 1-1. 2:19 left in overtime, 80-78. Brett Marshall from the Hutchinson News, one of the nice guys here, by the way, and there are plenty of them, informs me this is the first overtime game in 2 years in this tournament. There was not one last year. Eddie Benson to shoot 1-1. Benson, so far tonight, has not shot free throws. 80-78. Benson, first shot up short, and rebound brought down by Thomas. So Dixie missing free throws down the wire. 2:16 left in the ball game. In overtime, Dixie could have made it a margin. Toms against Dockery, under pressure. Muscles in the shot against Ant. Shot no good. Rebound, Ron Ant. Ant there for the rebound. And Ant and Roberts, kind of the heroes of this game. Ant playing under duress. 1:58 left in the game. Ant looks for help. Pass goes to McMullen. Knocked out of bounds by Tunxas. Out of bounds to Dixie. Ant signaling for help with 1:53 left in overtime. Dixie has the 2-point advantage, and that's barely an advantage. And inbounds finally gets it to Chris McMullen. To Eddie Benson. 1:50 left in the game. Benson down the sidelines goes to Tom Roberts. Dixie will not take anything but a layup right now. To Dockery. Dockery to Chris McMullen. Dixie into a soft freeze right now. They're willing to run the motion game out away from the basket. To Tom Roberts against Richardson to Ron Ant. 1:33 left in the game. Ants goes around Thomas. Double team quickly gets it out in front to Benson. Benson to Chris McMullen. Dixie doing some things right now. Benson with the basketball. Down the keyhole. Benson leaves it for Olas Dockery. Out in front it comes to Tom Roberts. 1:20 left in the game. Dixie into the freeze right now. Roberts goes to Eddie Benson. Dixie looking alive for the first time in the second half. Reaching around as Powell doesn't get the foul. Benson gets it to Ants. Back out to Benson. Benson double team on Benson. And there is a foul, and I think it will go to Tom. Yes, it will. And that's number 4 on Tom. Greg Tom. Benson at the free throw line. Missed the first half of a 1-1. Just this last time at the free throw line. 1:07 left in the game. Benson looking drained after last night. Feeling sense a little nervousness. Benson needs the first to get the second. Would love to get the first. Has the first. This time, Benson, kind of gritting his teeth and going after it. Like Charlie Brown says, Lucy, all you have to do is grit your teeth. You can do it. 81-78, 1:07 left in the game. Benson trying to make it a 4-point lead. Benson does. Benson, 10 points on the night, 82-78. Dixie by 4, 1:04 left in the game, and Tunxas has to come back again. Dixie, man-to-man defense and much more active. John Pruitt against McMullen. Pruitt, layup shot with the right hand, misses everything. Rebound by Ant. Baseball pass to Dockery. Quickly to Benson. Benson, bounce pass, deflected by Tunxas, out of bounds. Off the hands of Dixie, they say. Benson dived after it. Tunxas touched it last, and they call it out of bounds to Tunxas. But there are 47 seconds left. Benson tried to get the bounce pass to Dockery on the fast break, and the way the passes have been going, just missing. 82-78. Tunxas trying to make the move again. Powell from the top of the key. Good. Houston Powell. Three baskets this half, and that's his only scoring. 32 seconds left in the game. Still in backcourt, Dixie. Benson being chased. Gets across the 10-second line. Benson quickly to Dockery. 24 seconds left. To McMullen, to Dockery. Dockery looks for help. Goes to Tom Roberts. Way out in front to Entz, and Roberts is hammered. Tom Roberts to the free throw line. And a two-shot foul being called for Roberts. 82-80 with 18 seconds left. The foul goes to Richardson, and that's number five on Richardson. 18 seconds left in overtime. Richardson finishes with one field goal, and that's it. Richardson has not been a factor in this tournament at all. Richardson had 16 points the first ball game and did not score against Vincennes, but Richardson got most of his 16 points late in the ball game against Ferrum. Into the lineup for the first time tonight comes George Duhart. Duhart, a 6'4 freshman out of Windsor, Connecticut. 18 seconds left. 82-80. Dixie out in front. Roberts has two shots to make it a three-point lead with 18 seconds left. Tungsten. Strategy. Right behind Ron Ed. Roberts missed two, been hit two. So far has 12 points on the night. And Tom Roberts. Tungsten wants a timeout again. 18 seconds left in the game. 82-80. Let's take a 60-second break and be right back.
Have you had the chance lately to go?
Two shots to hit it. Roberts missed two, then hit two. Has 12 points on the night. Had 14 last night. Roberts, first shot up. Good. 83-80. 18 seconds left. Dixie trying to hang on. As Robert Preston would say, they frittered away. I say frittered away that lead in the second half. Second shot, Roberts. Good. 84-80. Dixie in front. Full court pressure by Benson to try to run some time off the clock. Powell under pressure. Gets it to John Pruitt. Pruitt against McMullen. Bank shot. Good. Timeout. Tonksis with 8 seconds left. 84-82. Let's take a quick 30-second break and be right back. Dixie out in front.
The next time you want to enjoy an evening meal with all the trimmings, why...
The Dixie fans being joined by the Moberly fans. Yesterday was the wearing of the green, and today is the wearing of the red. 84-82, Dixie by two. Tungsis getting an all-world shot from John Pruitt again, as Pruitt and Hooper have been shooting out of their tree, did you say? Everything they put up has found net. 8 seconds left in the game. Dixie has to get it inbounds and run 8 seconds off the clock. Dixie, you can bet, will be shooting at least two more free throws. Roberts giving some instructions. Full court pressure for Tungsis. 8 seconds left in the game, the first overtime game in 2 years at the NJCAA tournament. Ron Entz to inbound. Entz looks for help, trying to get it inbound. Does so to Eddie Benson. Benson will be fouled in backcourt, and that's on Tom. 1-1, they call. Tom picks up the foul. That's five on Tom. And Benson will shoot 1-1 with 6 seconds left in the game. Toms is out. Toms cannot believe it. Fans there aghast. Toms finished with one field goal, 2 for 3 from the free throw line, a total of 3 points. No, correction, 4 points. Add them up right, Jewel. 4 points left in the ball game. 6 seconds left. Ready to come in is Leroy Brooks. Brooks, a 5'9", 140-pounder. A comparative Gulliver against the Lilliputian Spud Webb, 5'9", 140 pounds for Tungsis. Benson needs the first to get the second. Has missed the first half of a 1-1 and then hit two in a 1-1 situation. 6 seconds left in the game. 84-82. Benson, good. Now Dixie hitting the free throws. Benson, 3 for 4, 85-82. Number 32, George Duhart, even steps over and congratulates Benson. Roberts backs away. Benson all alone at the free throw line. Second shot. Good. 6 seconds for Tungsis to get the ball in and up court and overcome a 4-point lead. Leroy Brooks, quickly, it comes up court. Long jump shot from number 32, Duhart, taken short by Tom Roberts, and Dixie goes to Saturday. Overtime, Dixie 86, Tungsis 82. Let's take a two-minute break and be back and recap this game. We'll be back with a post-game show a little bit later and hopefully have Coach Dale Roberts. Let's take a two-minute break for our sponsors in play-by-play time and then be back and recap the ball game. Back in 2 minutes.
Bateman Pharmacy in the city center wants to be your complete family pharmacy. That's why Evan Stapley and his staff always give you friendly, helpful service. Many times when you get a prescription from the doctor, you have questions on your mind. That's where a family pharmacist can really be helpful. Evan will gladly explain the do's and don'ts with your prescribed medication to put your mind at ease. Make Bateman's in the city center your complete family pharmacy from beauty aids to first aids. Bateman's can handle all your needs.
You know, we've heard an awfully lot lately about IRA accounts from banks and other institutions. Olson and Levitt Insurance in St. George would like to let everyone know about a meeting concerning IRA accounts on March 30th at 7 p.m. in the new Washington County Library. Olson and Levitt Insurance will have Bob Turner representing Allstate Insurance in attendance to discuss the advantages of having an IRA account through an insurance company. For further information, phone Olson Levitt Insurance at 628-0453.
The man had been wandering around his home for weeks, gazing in admiration at the walls. It all started after he visited Jones Paint and Glass and bought Fuller O'Brien Weather King Latex House Paint for his home's exterior and Fuller Glow Latex Satin Enamel for the interior. Weather King resists fading, blistering, and chalking for years. And like all Fuller O'Brien paints at Jones Paint and Glass, it glides on with ease and lasts a long time. And Fuller Glow gave each room a luscious satin look with a tough finish. The guy couldn't help but admire his new home. So I charged him with PDA.
No, not a public display of affection.
Yep, but as soon as he got to prison, he painted his cell with Fuller Glow from Jones Paint and Glass, and it looked so good, he asked to be sentenced to life.
Fuller O'Brien paints can make any room look fresh and inviting. So if it's time to repaint, or if you hear the crash, think of Jones Paint and Glass, Provo, American Fork, Vernal, Roosevelt, St. George, Pocatello, and Idaho Falls.
86-82, the first overtime game in 2 years in the NJCAA tournament, and Dixie comes up with a victory and will be going to that fifth-place game. Now, let's tell you how this has to match up. There are 2 days before Dixie will know who their opponent is. They will play one of the four teams yet to play tonight. Which one of those four will be determined by these next two games? And then the game that follows tomorrow. Now, what's taken place already today in competition in this tournament? In game number 12, West Ark, the defending national champions, were eliminated from the tournament by a 66-57 score by Mercer County. That was in the first game today. In the second game, College of Southern Idaho in a heartbreaker, losing to Jamestown of New York, 68-66. Jamestown, outstanding young team, just edging CSI. But for 3 points difference, College of Southern Idaho would be in the Final Four, as they lost 1 point to Miami-Dade North College and then lose 2 points today to Jamestown College of New York. So Southern Idaho and West Ark have been eliminated. Nebraska Western eliminated yesterday. In a game concluded just prior to this game, John C. Calhoun of Alabama eliminated Allegheny of Maryland 67-64. Allegheny was the first team to qualify for the Final 16. They qualified way back when, years ago, it seemed like, for the Final 16. Allegheny, the number four team eliminated. Now, Dixie, with their victory over Tunksis, by a score of 86-82 in overtime, has eliminated Tunksis, and Tunksis goes home, and Dixie will move to Saturday, and that will be a 1:30 broadcast time on KDXU. Now, in the game yet to be played tonight, Moberly College of Missouri, four-time national champs, and if you want to figure up total point totals, the most successful team in the history of the NJCAA tournament, Moberly College, we'll be playing against the number one ranked team in the country, Miami-Dade North. It's interesting, they ate at the same restaurant today, about the same time that West Ark of Arkansas was also eating following their loss and elimination from the tournament. So we had three teams at the same restaurant. Stan Murray of the Country Spectrum and I were both there at the same time. So he saw a whole bunch of ballplayers. So Moberly and Miami-Dade North to determine who goes to the Final Four, who goes to the semifinals. Now, the winner of this ball game will meet the winner of the nightcap tonight, Volunteer State of Tennessee and Henderson County of Texas. Those winners will meet in the semifinals tomorrow. The losers out of these next two ball games will meet tomorrow afternoon, and the winner of that ball game will then face Dixie. So it has a long ways to go to get to Dixie's opponent. Final score again, 86-82. Dixie defeats Tunxas College of Connecticut in overtime, the first overtime in 2 years in the NJCAA tournament. That completes the play-by-play broadcast. Stay tuned for the post-game show, and we hope to have Coach Neil Roberts up for our post-game interview. Stay tuned in just a couple of minutes.
Keep your car running in tip-top condition by having it fully serviced at Dixie Lube Center and Car Wash. At Dixie Lube Center, they'll get your car ready for that spring and summer driving ahead, no matter what make or model, even diesel models. Dixie Lube Center will be the best friend your car will ever have. Dixie Lube Center, home of great service and the best car wash in town, too. Drop in and just wait. It only takes 10 minutes for a full service job at Dixie Lube Center and Car Wash, 704 South Bluff in St. George.
You've been listening to Dixie College Basketball, live from Hutchinson, Kansas, with Larry Jewell on KDXU. This game has been brought to you by Capco Petroleum, the Burger King, Realty World, Alpha Realty, Olson Levitt Insurance, Tri-State Office and Music Supply, and by Western Village in Mesquite, Nevada. Associate sponsors included Hanson's Auto Body, Bateman Pharmacy, J&J Mill and Lumber, Jones Paint and Glass, and by Dixie Lube Center. Direct from Hutchinson, Kansas, side of the NJCAA basketball tournament, this has been the postgame show, brought to you by Hearst Ben Franklin Ace Hardware in the Sunshine Square, and now with a brand new store in the Hurricane Valley. Dixie College Tournament Basketball broadcasts have been a service of the Sports Department of 1450 KDXU.
Coach Neil Robertson making his way up here. He usually gets buttonholed by radio, newspaper, and TV from this area as the press latches onto him in a hurry, and it's not always easy to get a coach from way down there. I'm way up above the crowd, high, staring eye to eye with this new scoreboard in the area. Part of the $2 million has gone to a $36,000 scoreboard. A correction, about an $86,000 scoreboard, and I believe it costs, well, figure a fourth of that per side. It's quite a fantastic situation. And I'm not sure if I'll be able to get Coach Neil Roberts up, clear up here from way down on the floor level, but we hope to get him. Final score once again, 86-82. Dixie comes up with a victory, the first overtime game in 2 years of the NJCAA tournament. And Dixie hits above the 80-point margin once again. Dixie, for the first time in the tournament, no, correction, for the second time in the tournament, it hits above their average. They did hit 90 points against Mercer County. That was inflated by free throws. Similar ball game in many ways to the game against Mercer County, as Dixie had less than, not quite as spectacular a first half as they did against Mercer. Dixie had a super first half against Mercer County and then just almost folded up the tent and sailed away in the second half. Hung on with some foul trouble that Mercer developed in the first half. It finally came back to plague them in the second half and finished with a victory, 90-82. Then last night, it was an all-out effort for both Dixie and Midland College of Texas. And Dixie, obviously tiring in the second half, seemed to be about a step slow in the first half, struggled in the first half, did come up with a 14-point lead in the first half. Two free throws by Chris McMullen made it a 46-30 lead early in the second half. And then Tunxas, who has not shown any way, shape, or form of comeback ability, but you don't get to be 27-0 coming into last night's game and 27-1 on the year by not having some talent and some courage. Tunxas scored 11 straight points to come back at Dixie with fangs bared and ready for the kill. Part of that was Dixie allowing Texas to come back in. It was a case of Dixie's game to win or lose. But you have to give credit to Texas. Dixie gave Texas the opportunities, and Texas shot a phenomenal percentage in the second half. As shots dropped every time, it seemed like, every time they came down the floor, led by John Pruitt and Alex Hooper, Hooper eventually fouling out, Dixie coming up with a sudden deficit at 70-67. Seeing that, drop back to a three-point deficit a little bit later, and then two crucial free throws. In the closing seconds, a regulation play by Ron Ed got Dixie back to a tie at 73 at the end of regulation play. Tom Roberts with some key rebounds to get Dixie back into that position also. Then, in overtime, Texas got the first basket to make it 75-73. Texas never could lead by more than two. Dixie came back and got the lead. Then traded lead to a Texas before Dixie finally got a four-point lead, 84-80. And then Texas made the move back again, 84-82. Dixie got two free throws right at the end by Eddie Benson to make it 86-82. And that was all she wrote. Let's take a quick 30-second break for Hearst Ben Franklin Ace Hardware. When we come back, the invocation is being delivered for the final two ball games, so we will be coming back to a prayer prior to the final two ball games, so I will not speak. So let's take a quick break for Hearst Ben Franklin.
You're tuned to 1450 KDXU in St. George, Utah, and the post-game show is brought to you as a service of Hearst Ben Franklin Ace Hardware in the Sunshine Square.
Discover quality.
Hearst Ben Franklin Ace Hardware.
If you're a do-it...
Will put in that first shot in the one-and-one.
Yep. Knocked it down. Second one came easy. That was a big basket he had. It put us in a situation where we could do some things when we wanted to. Plus, Ron Ince, rebound-wise, my gosh, he goes and gets the ball when we have to have it. So did Tom. And they're there at the end of the ball game. They're trying to get the ball all the time to inside, primarily to number 30, which is Chris McMullen's man, and he just denied him the ball. And he worked so hard, so hard.
Look at the rebounds across that front line. 10 for McMullen, 10 for Roberts, 13 for Ince. Ince is back in double figures after dropping last night.
Yeah, that's not too shabby, I don't think. To get three guys in double figures, we'll take it any time.
He shot 51% on the entire game, 61% in the first half. Texas shot, 42% in the first half, shot 51 over the entire ball game. I suspicion that there is a time there that they didn't miss a shot. It didn't seem, for about 10 minutes, it seemed like they hit everything they put up.
Well, one thing that they did that was extremely good is they were really patient. They didn't come down and try to get it all at once. They took the ball inside. We shut off their primary target inside, and they kick it to someone else, and they really shot a lot of layups right inside, and they closed the gap and got ahead because they were so patient offensively. And then we went back, got out of our zone, went back to man-to-man, got a few steals after we went behind. But yet, this team just wasn't going to get beat, and that's characteristic of them all year long.
Now, Texas, even though they had the big win against Ferrum, Virginia, really didn't show the team play that in this tournament at all until tonight. This is their best performance team-wise.
I think we bring out the best in people, sure. But another key thing is we just won 30 ball games, and I don't think there was too many people gave us a chance to win 20 earlier, but we won 30 ball games. That's the most basketball games Dixie College has ever won. Of course, we might play 50 next year. Maybe we'll have a chance to do that. But Dixie College is now recognized as one of the really good basketball programs in the United States. And it's a lot of effort from a lot of great basketball players.
I think you got a little help, not only from the St. George fans, but from the Moberly fans that showed up late.
Yeah, they were at the opposite end, down where the other team was shooting, and they were standing up, waving their banners and their pom-poms and everything else. And I don't know what there is, but something. Maybe it's our cheerleaders, the color of our uniforms, or whatever it happens to be. But whenever we come back to Hutchinson, we really have a lot of crowd support. Plus, Hutchinson really wants us to come back to their kickoff tournament next year, and they've offered us $1,000 to come back. Maybe it's because they'll get more people to watch.
Now, you have a situation where you have three ball games and 2 days to go before you find out who your opponent's going to be.
Well, it's nice to be able to watch people for a couple of ball games, too, and that will help us. And plus, the day off has really got to help. These guys have got to be drained a little bit. I bet they drink 10 gallons of water because it is really hot here.
The kids, they're ready to try for fifth place now.
Oh, yeah. It's really comfortable to know that you're in the top 10. We never were ranked at all this year, and And in fact, we never got a vote as far as rankings were concerned. But yet, we just went one. And there's some teams that have been beaten here with better talent than anyone here. CSI lost the first two ball games and have as much talent as anyone here. But there's just something about character of people, and that's a real plus.
Let's take a look at the final totals. Leroy Brooks came off the bench late for Tungus, did not score. Greg Thomas off the bench provided some emphasis. 1 for 5 from the free throw line. 2 for 4 from the, 1 for 5 from the field, I should say. 2 for 4 from the free throw line. 3 rebounds. And a total of 4 points on the night. Houston Powell, you shut him down except for 3 baskets in the second half. 3 for 6, 6 points on the night. And Houston Powell, who is all region, shut out first half.
Well, guards. He hit a few in the last part of the ballgame that really hurt us. But, you know, with our guards, they're so quick. With Eddie, which played really well tonight, he turned the ball over a few times, but he was handling it all the time. And Brent Wade, he awoke. And we've had a lot of people talking to us about him possibly going to 4-year school, but I think he's pretty well committed for the next couple of years.
Alex Hooper, leading scorer on the season for Tungus. Leading scorer first ball game, second leading scorer second ball game tonight. 10 for 17 from the field, 3 for 5 from the free throw line, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, fouled out. 23 points for Hooper. He put everything in the second half.
Well, I'll say he did. In fact, missed very few. And last night didn't play very well. But yet, he really was a key factor for him. He along with Haskins, were really tough to handle. And they've hit some really key baskets, times that if we could have got the ball back, could have won in regulations. But they just came down and scored. A lot of credit to them. They didn't quit as well. But you have to realize that all the teams playing now are good. And all of them have tremendous win-loss records. And the only way you get a tremendous win-loss record is to have enough character to go out to win every ball game.
Pruitt was tough. 15 for 25 from the field. 30 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Pruitt, a little 6'3 forward, moves well.
Yeah, jumps extremely well, has a great range. He shoots it from a long ways away. And especially early in the half, knocked in some big jump shots that kept him there.
Duhart did not score briefly in the ballgame. I said Greg Thomas. It was actually Greg Toms that had the 4 points. Gary Thomas came off the bench, 2 for 2 from the field, 1 for 2 from the free throw line. 6 rebounds for Thomas and a total of 5 points. Haskins, the man you mentioned, 6 for 15, 12 points, 8 rebounds, got some big boards.
Boy, he did. Jumps extremely well. So quick around it. They tipped a lot of things in tonight. Just jumped right over the top of it.
Charles Richardson, not really much help for Tungus inside. 1 for 3 from the field. Did get 3 rebounds, a total of 2 points, fouled out.
Boy, he's a giant, though. You have to run a long ways to get around him, but he just primarily beat people to death on the floor. Now, they were better when he wasn't even in there.
Tungus is a team, 38 for 74, 51%, 6 for 11 from the free throw line, 55%. Rebounds, 36, assists, 10, turnovers, 17. Now, Dixie, West Ham has played just a few seconds in the first half, did not score. Brent Wade, 6 for 9 from the field, 4 for 5 from the free throw line. 16 points they have him for here. I think that may be a little wrong. 3 rebounds. Fouled out with 34 seconds left. It looked like it was curtains for Dixie at that point, but the kids rallied.
But just before he fouled out, before the game was over, he made the big steal and went down, laid it up, and got us within one. But, hey, you know, Brent Wade's been a tremendous basketball player in this tournament, as he has been all year long. But yet, on the other hand, we can bring in that other guard that's not too much behind him. And Dockery hit a couple of free throws and a big jump shot right there at the end of the ball game that kept us even.
Now, Dockery had some key turnovers tonight, has admittedly struggled in this tournament, but did have some key pluses for you tonight.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And he's played so much. He's, even though he has struggled at times, still has confidence in his abilities and wants to be on the floor. And in fact, we were concerned there at the end when we were holding the ball game they would foul Dockery, but he wasn't. But yet you look at it, he's made his last 6 free throws in a row. So have confidence in them. They do it themselves.
3 for 4 from the field, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, 8 points. Eddie Benson, 5 for 9 from the field, 4 for 5 from the free throw line, 14 points, 3 rebounds tonight. Benson, there's one point where he turned the ball over himself 2 straight times, and you can see him look over to you with an exasperated look on his face.
Well, we talked about this just before the ball game. He and I went to lunch together, and we talked about just take care of the ball because they're really quick and they knock it around. They come from behind all the time, and he'd been having trouble with it, but he was really concentrating with it and lost the handle a couple of times. But yet, Eddie, when he starts doing that, he has a tendency to compound errors. When he makes one mistake, he'll come back and make another. And we've learned as the year goes on, when he starts making mistakes, to get him out, let him sit down for a minute, and then bring him back, and it's really helped him.
When he came back in, he was one of the keys.
He really was. He was some key free throws. And And that's a lot of pressure. He's missed a few this year, and that always plays on it when it really matters.
Up front, Chris McMullen, 6 for 13, not a good shooting night. 7 for 9 from the free throw line. 19 points for Chris, 10 rebounds, and an assist. Chris is really thinking himself, in a way, into a shooting slump.
I don't think he is. The shots that he was taking inside, he was just getting beat to death. And he was getting knocked around on the floor. And boy, Chris has hardly sat down this whole tournament. And so he's gone like 60 minutes without a rest against extreme competition. Chris is a great player. I hope that he can have a good one and last one out.
I kind of got the feeling Chris thinks he has the shooting slump.
Well, he goes out and misses one shot. He thinks he's off. And he'll go 6 for 10 and just be disgusted with himself. But when you have had perfect nights, I guess you expect it all the time.
Ron Ants, 5 for 15 from the field. He took some beatings underneath. 5 for 6 from the free throw line. 15 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists. Ants hit the 2 free throws to send it into overtime, just as Cool Hand Luke again.
Yeah, right in the heart, no question about it. There's been a lot of comment about how well we shoot free throws. In fact, down on the press table, Sam Murray was talking to one of the national writers there, and the guy said, "Who would you foul?" And Sam says, "I don't know." And Sam asked him, "Who would you foul?" And he says, "After watching them play, I don't think it matters because they all shoot them well." And I think we were close to 80% from the line tonight, and that's not bad after being tired and also playing in this type of pressure.
26 for 33, 79%. That's close. 30 for 59, 51% from the field. Roberts, 5 for 9 from the field. 4 for 6 from the free throw line. 14 points, 10 rebounds. Tom missed his first 2 free throws and hits 4 straight, right in crucial time.
Yeah, boy, he did. Those ones he made. The two he missed was a 2-shot foul, and he missed them both. He shot one short, next one long, and the rest of them were all right in the heart. And, boy, when he stood up and made them under to put us, to keep us even, it means a lot more than, it's just like scores. Certain scores will get a lot of points, but they get them when it doesn't matter. Other scores will get them when the game's still in question. And I don't mean to make a personal reference, but Fred Apple gave us leading scorer in the conference, but a lot of his points came when it didn't matter. Chris McMullen was third leading scorer in the conference, and every basket he made mattered.
Tom tonight was the scorer that made the shots on the count.
Oh, yeah. And Tom had a little article in the paper. His man scored a lot of points against us last time out. And they call it, he said, "I felt like I had a ham on me and I could take advantage of him." That really hurt Tom's feelings, but I think he made up for that tonight.
Well, also wants to show off for his family a little.
Yeah, the whole crew's here. That's really impressive to see his All-American brother sitting here and just enjoying himself. And he's down there with his red and white pom-pom with his Dixie hat on, and it's a lot of fun to see.
Coach Neil Roberts, appreciate you making the trip all the way up here. That's quite a hike still. But congratulations on the victory, and we'll be visiting again Saturday on KDXU.
One more game, and it's a lot of fun to be here.
Yeah, and then we have a pleasant trip, hopefully back to St. George.
It'll be pleasant, no matter what the outcome is. Being able to play in the last night of the national finals has been really enjoyable.
Coach Neil Roberts of Dixie College, victorious coach tonight in overtime. Larry Jewell, thanking you for being with us. Our sponsors for their support, Larry Gentry, back at the station who kept us on the air. Our final score once again, Dixie 86, Tunks is 82 in the first overtime game in 2 years in the NJCAA tournament. Till we hear from each other again. Take care now, you hear?
And this has been the post-game show, a special service of Hearst, Ben Franklin, Ace Hardware in the Sunshine Square. Be sure to join us for the next Rebel basketball game right here on your sports station, 1450 KDXU.